provides us with a number of stories about the early life of Jesus, both as child and as young adult. Two of these stories are referred to and recounted in the gospel that we just listened to for the second Sunday of Christmas. The first I'm referring to is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, a feast day that we celebrated actually last Monday. And the second is the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt. Reflecting on both of those stories this last week, I was reminded of the unspeakable preciousness that we hold for children and of their vulnerability in a world that often does little to protect children. And I was also reminded of one of my favorite Christmas poems, written by Madeline L'Engle, found in her 1996 book, Winter Song, which she shared its authorship with Lucy Shaw. In the poem, L'Engle reflects on the reality of the Christ child both back in time, in that scene in Bethlehem and later in Egypt, and now. She writes, "This is no time for a child to be born. When the earth, betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born. In a land in the crushing grip of Rome, honor and truth were trampled by scorn. Yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time of love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth, and a comet the sky is torn, yet love still takes the risk of birth." These stories, this season of Christmas, celebrates, among other things, the vulnerability of a God who would take the full risk to be born. The risk to be born as a frail infant and to take on the peril of being mortal. For God to take that risk, rather than coming among us as a thundering, avenging angel, is a strange and wonderful paradox. A paradox in which the Nativity is founded and shrouded. We are called to see the Christ child with our human eyes and to celebrate his birth under the harshest of conditions, in a country occupied by foreign invaders, in the winter, in the dirty manger of a crowded inn, his mother unattended by family, no support around her. The situation of our children in today's world is also shrouded in such perils. For despite all the emphasis that we place on family as a culture, one out of every four children is born into poverty in the United States. According to the Children's Defense Fund, the slow grinding violence of poverty takes an American's child life every 53 minutes. We have cause to wonder if the Holy Family would find our society any more congenial than Herod's kingdom. One might even say that we too have a slaughter of innocence. The Feast of the Holy Innocents and the Holy Family's flight brings out the paradoxical nature of the Christmas season. For just as God's love for us and presence in our lives is a constant interplay of paradox, so at Christmas time, we touch and enter God's presence in the vulnerability of a child and in the pain and in the rejoicing of the act of giving birth. We are reminded ourselves of our own fundamental dependency on God, and we are reminded of God's nearness in our most vulnerable places. In moments of failure, danger, starvation, threat of war. At Christmas, just as it is at Easter, we celebrate the gift of God's continuing promise in the midst of, as the hymn reminds us, in the midst of the hopes and fears of all our years. Thomas Wall has illustrated a children's book called How Jesus Came, and it illustrated the most popular images of that season: Mary's encounter with cousin Elizabeth, Joseph working away at his wood shop, a shepherd in the fields, a star bright in the night, a visit by three wise men. He also included Herod there, a large, evil-looking man with glowing eyes and a large knife, a precursor of the death of the holy innocents, the precursor of the family's flight into Egypt. When that book first appeared in 1981, there were criticisms of its depiction of the slaughter of the innocents. Does such violence really belong in a Christmas book? His critics said. Such objections were voicing the temptation to run away from evil. But if we do so, we're not fully engaging in the Christmas story. And turning away from evil will not help the children in our world. Our news sources and media report children as victims of war, casualties of their parents, starving to sickness or death, abused by poverty, abused by inadequate schools, victims of violence inflicted by those who would love them most of all. Such a litany shows that children still have plenty of Herods to fear in our world. So what is the incarnation to say to these children? Can we find a way to bear a message? What can we do to ensure their human dignity, assuage their fear, dry their tears? I can think of no better way to celebrate the Christmas story by doing what we're about to do today: to baptize infants, to baptize Dylan into the life and into the safety of community. Another way to honor the Christmas story year-round is to support children who need our help through mission programs like Gateway 180, or our support of the mission initiatives that support the youth touched by the ministries of Episcopal City Mission, or by any of the other mission outreach efforts that we have in this place that directly touch children and young people. This season of the Incarnation invites us to take our place within the mystery of the suffering and to be transformed by it. And it is not about ideological postures. It is about identification with the Christ, who identified himself in the most vulnerable, marginal, disenfranchised ones, especially the poor and the children of the poor. Lengel writes, "When is the time for love to be born? When is the time to take the risk of birth? I believe it is in this season, when we gather to celebrate our commitment to children through the baptisms of Dylan and of Teal Slane, which is also occurring today down in Christ Church Cathedral. It is in this season of Christmas when we can renew our commitment to make a home for the Savior, to revisit the baptismal covenant, when we say that we will raise all children into the full stature of Christ. Christ's incarnation shows us God as refuge, God as an alien in a strange land, as a vulnerable and dependent child. And as such, the incarnation calls on us to both risk the birth of love and to make a safe place for all the world's most vulnerable ones. For the sake of Christ, and for the sake of his little ones who are entrusted to our care, let us embrace this season year-round.